Welcome to the I'm Still Here podcast. I'm your host, Heather Jose. In 1998, at the age of 26, I was diagnosed with stage 4 breast cancer. It changed everything for us, but I'm still here. And we're here to talk to you about life with metastatic disease. We know it's not easy. We know that there are challenges that never get talked about, but we're here to walk with you through them, to show you some hope, some inspiration, and to help you make a plan so that you can join me in saying, I'm still here. Welcome back. It is Wednesday. Yay. Wednesdays we talk about cancer.
Boo.
But also, if it helps you, yay.
Yay!
Up and down. It's like cancer, right? It's a roller coaster. We have no idea. I wanted to talk about the relationship with your doctor and, like, you know, how what to expect, but also maybe ways to improve it or ways to build a relationship. Or maybe it's, you know, recognizing whether or not the team is the right team for you, right? So
setting that team that's going to be best for you.
Yeah.
And how do we do that? Where's our power?
Yeah.
What can we do? What maybe do we not know how to do? We not know how to yep. do? I mean, we're going to talk about all that.
And yeah, ways to get there. So I think what happens oftentimes is, at least for me, I was diagnosed. It came out of nowhere. Like, I wasn't sick, right? So I wasn't expecting this, you know, visit from my regular doctor would turn into meeting all of these specialists, right? And I think it feels so urgent because you're so scared that oftentimes you just kind of meet these people, say okay to whatever they say, and that becomes your team, right? Now, there are cases like mine where the first meetings are so appalling that there is no way you can stay with mm-hmm. somebody, right?
Right.
But what that leads me to say is that you do have a choice. Yes. And one of the things that I have talked about with people over the years is the urgency that we have is not worth a bad relationship with an oncologist. You know, it mm-hmm. is worth finding somebody else. So,
yeah, there, I mean, I think there's two things to consider with an oncologist. And in this day and age, we can do some research into, I don't know how you say this. Do they suck? Right? are they bad at their job or are they great at their job because they've spoken all around the world and they're world renowned?
Right.
It seems like you get maybe one or the other. I've never ran into one that sucks, with the exception of the one we met that told you you're going to die pretty quick.
Mm-hmm. And that he was going to be.
And back then, we didn't have that ability to research an oncologist. The internet didn't exist, so we couldn't go out and do that.
Mm-hmm.
The other part is the human relationship part.
Yeah.
To some extent, you're interviewing each other. The patient, the doctor, the patient. You're doing an interview on, can we get along? Are we on the same page? That kind of thing.
Yeah.
So one is your skills as an oncologist and the location, meaning what hospital you serve out of, yeah. and what did they offer. The second is, can I trust you? Can you trust me? Are we a good fit together?
Yeah.
So there's those two things to consider, I think, with selecting an oncologist. Or because if I walked a plane mechanic in here,
mm-hmm.
an airplane mechanic, you'd go, okay, I'm not really sure what a plane mechanic is supposed to be like, but it seems
right.
like you got the tools in your bag there, and
right.
the planes are up in the air. Looks like you do a pretty good job. Yeah, sounds good. I need a plane mechanic, so let's go. That's kind of what happens with oncologists. I got cancer. They walk this person, or we walk into their door, and they're going, all right, let's do what we can here.
Yeah.
It is ridiculous. We don't know what they know.
Right.
There's a lot of faith in this.
There is a lot of faith, and there's also a lot of, like, paying attention to your spidey senses, right? Yeah,
which mine are terrible in that environment.
Yeah.
I am the worst. The worst. You're good at it. I'm not, and I know my weakness here. And that goes across the board. My first encounters with people, I'm just, I think, everybody's great.
You think everybody's
great? Everybody's great. Yep. Yeah, you're going to be great.
I think there's some basic things to consider. So some of them are, you know, like, are you able, willing, wanting to travel, right? Mm-hmm. For us, we have an oncologist as close as like 12 miles away,
yeah,
whatever. But for me, that was definitely not the right fit.
Right.
Because I would never have the confidence that the oncologist that is in a small, non-research-driven center that is treating all sorts of cancer was the best fit for me.
Great person, probably good at their job, does not have a millionth of the resources compared to your oncologist who you do have now.
Right.
I mean, not even close, the right resources, not their fault, right?
Right. So let's, if you do have the resources to travel, like if you do want to look farther, I think it's important that you do that. I would say having some confidence in the person that's providing your treatment is very important.
No doubt. But what do you, what does that mean, some confidence in it? Is that just your spidey senses or what?
No, I think confidence for me is, have they been, you know, are they a specialist in my cancer area, for one thing? What kind of resources do they have available to them? What kind of team are they working on? I knew that my oncologist not only had, you know, her work to draw from, but they had a big tumor board. They could discuss hard cases, you know, on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. I knew that she was going to seek out more than just, you know, a book on medicines. And I felt better about that, right?
What about the social part? You know, meeting her. You already went in with confidence with her just from mm-hmm. a phone call, which many of you have heard talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And again, the comparison to the dipshit that we had been with the week before.
Yeah.
But did you get a sense when you first met her, or did you like something about...
I think what I liked was that I felt like she was going to have some expectation of me. Mm. And I wanted that, right? I wanted a partnership of sorts.
Boy, I didn't... there's no doubt about that. That is her. You just nailed it.
You know, yeah. She was like, I am going to do my part, and I would like you to do a few things as well. And that's right. How... And it felt... I think that...
And for you, that you must have been seeking that. Even if you didn't know it, that felt good to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, I mean, just early on, even in kind of talking about that, where we were like saying, you know, not saying why me, but saying try me kind of thing. Those kind of things where I was like, I didn't want to just be like, fix me, please. You know, that mm-hmm. was... It was such a monumental task to take on, killing this cancer that had already spread the way that it had, that it was kind of like, it didn't feel like enough for me to just be doing treatment, you know, once every 3 weeks or whatever, how it started out, you know. I wanted to play a big role in it, and I wanted her to realize that I was taking it seriously. Like, that I, and, you know.
Does it matter that she's a woman?
I think it helped. I would say. I think it helped. I think I felt very understood by her. I think I knew that what she, you know, she was a mom at the time, that she, I think I felt seen, which coming off my first appointment, I wasn't seen at all. It was very much a...
I get that, but... I don't know how to say this. I mean, because we only have one example of this, and mm-hmm. we have a dipshit dude and a mm-hmm. unbelievably great oncologist mm-hmm. woman. Would you recommend a woman oncologist?
Mm.
Was there more things that just a guy could not know or experience?
I don't think
or...
so. Not necessarily. Okay. I mean, I don't think so. I think about, like, the first surgeon that I met was a man. I think he was very well-intentioned, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think he was probably good at what he did. It is interesting. I mean, all of my initial doctors were women. My bone marrow transplant doctor was a woman. My surgeon was a woman. The first radiation oncologist that I, you know, was with was a woman. All of them were. And
I wonder if that's unusual. Or is that
I don't know.
Norm?
I don't
breast
know.
Cancer, at least. I know it all wasn't breast cancer, but.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the... I do think there is a certain amount of, yeah, you understand my body. You have one, right? Like, in a way that maybe is a little bit better.
Yeah, I don't know.
You know.
Or is that just for you? Was it more comfortable having a woman oncologist? I mean, just from the standpoint is they're looking at your breast before you have... They're checking out your body. I mean, is that a variable, a factor? As a guy... If I was naked or mm-hmm. somebody, I would much rather it be a man than a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I just, comfort wise, when I'm getting a massage, I want it to be a woman, not a guy. I just have these things that make me feel
because
better.
Because that's kind of what you've been taught to be comfortable with.
Maybe.
Right?
I don't know why. I haven't really dove into this. I'm just, when we started this, it popped into my head about this. Because there's the whole medical side, but then there's the comfort side. And her being a woman, I wonder if that was more comfortable to you, whether you identified it or not.
Yeah, I think it was helpful. I would say yes, I think it was helpful.
Okay.
Also, though, like her competency was amazing,
yeah.
right? Her relationship skills, for me, might be too much for some people, honestly. I don't know. But for me, fantastic.
And for some people, she had, you know, Dr. Mariver, if you checked out that, she has an accent, and some people might be put off by that. Some people might be a positive type of thing.
Right,
just people have past experiences that play into their current life. I mean, I don't know why, but that gave her more clout.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it did. You know, with me. And it's ridiculous. I get that. But, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it plays beyond just the doctor, though, too. And I think it goes to the teams, right? The people who are a part of the care. Obviously, oncology, like an oncologist, can make a big difference. But for some people, like... They maybe don't see their oncologist a whole heaping lot. They see the nurse practitioner more, or they see and so I would say, I mean, I think there are different ways to go about it in that if you don't have a relationship with an oncologist, you might be staying there because of the team around them also, right?
And you feel heard, you mm-hmm. feel trust, you feel all those things with somebody or the majority of the team. Then that works, right?
Yeah.
So what do you do when you walk into this first appointment and your spidey senses are going, there wasn't anything bad like we experienced in it, but you're just going, and then you're on your ride home and you mention to somebody, did you hear them say, what do you have to say with that?
I think you look elsewhere. I mean, especially if you haven't gotten one second opinion, I think you get a second opinion.
Yeah, especially today with DNA and you know, that playing a factor.
Well, even I was talking with my friend not that long ago about this. She's going through a situation where, you know, and she was kind of talking about the doctor, and it just kind of kept coming back to like, well, the doctor was kind of mad that I did the doctor, and I was like, get out. Like, you don't have to take that from them.
I know, but I go back to the airplane mechanic thing again. I don't know what I have to take or what I shouldn't take. Or is that normal to take that? Do they all say that? When you have no experience.
I know, but
that?
When somebody is like getting mad that you got another opinion, for one thing, I feel like that's a red flag. For another thing, I just kind of go, like, I don't want to be in a relationship with somebody with somebody who's going to be like, I know, you know, I'm smarter than you and I'm telling you what to do and you're going to do it. Like,
no way.
That does not work for me. Right?
I would think that wouldn't work for a lot of people.
For a lot, but I would hope, but a lot of people do just kind of go, people.
Because they don't know and they think maybe that's a norm.
I know. Yeah. And it doesn't
It's not the norm,
it's
people.
It's not the norm. And it doesn't have to be like that. The relationship can be a good working relationship. I always called myself the captain of my wellness team. Like, my doctor was a part of it. A very big part of it. No doubt. I don't have the expertise with treatments. But also a part of it. I'm the one. It's my life. It's my body. It's my, you know.
Yeah, I remember she would, you know, check in a lot, you know, every appointment. But she would always ask me, like, how much are you working out? What are you eating? You know, if you have a few pounds to lose, that really matters. And she would just hit on it. You could count on it. The next appointment, she'll bring it up.
Yes.
You know, and we just know that because she understands the value of that or the importance of that with our immune system and how the balance is. But
I like that too, because I feel it's so much like it's not all up to her. Right. And I don't think anybody should feel like that. I don't feel like it's up to their doctor to get rid of the cancer exclusively. Like,
absolutely.
It's everything. It's, and again,
you're on the team. You're the team captain.
The captain.
Right. Like, that's what I'm saying is,
can be the captain, you know, like it's my life.
So if you're going to get a second opinion is, I seriously don't know this. I mean, do you let your doctor know? Is it none of their opinion? Are there records requested when you get a second opinion?
I think a lot of times there's records requested, you know? Yeah. I don't know if doctors always know about it necessarily. It's not like they're in the office sending them, you know?
Okay.
I think I feel like there have been times that I have said that I was going to get a second opinion for different things. It's always been received okay. Mm-hmm. You know, I can remember when I had my first appointment with the oral surgeon about my ONJ, like, the guy was like the best there is, and he was terrible. Like, he was a guy for me that, like, I didn't care how good he was because of how he made me feel. And and everything else. It was like,
and when we go back to that mental state of, you have to believe that this is the right person for you.
Yeah.
Even though if they're world renowned, it's gotta be perfect for you.
Yes.
And those red flags, listen to them, you know?
Yeah. It was a big deal. I mean, we ended up, I mean, I'm on doctor number 3 for my ONJ, and that's okay. And that, you know,
I gotta believe, if this were me, and I think this is true, if you say to your doctor of any kind, you should ask this question, should I get a second opinion?
Mm-hmm.
And if they're like, you don't need a second opinion, you did about,
yeah,
there's your answer.
I feel like that
because
too.
Great doctors go, absolutely. They will have one word and it will be the word absolutely. not, well, if you want to, they won't say that. Great doctors know the research they put in and what they have planned for you, and it'll be the word absolutely.
Yeah.
I believe, just from our experience, that's what it's been. And they're the right person then. If they say absolutely, you probably don't need one. No,
but also, if that's what's going to calm your brain,
yeah,
then get one and go back. You know what I mean? Again, the relationship that I had with Dr. Black through all of this, right? Was will you be my second opinion through this? And it was absolutely. And they both knew what was happening. Mm-hmm. There was no conflict there at all. It was great. You know, this is what's happening on this end. I mean, I think Dr. Mariber was thrilled with everything I was doing from the integrative standpoint. And that was because of the team at Dr. Black's place, you know? So yeah. Great.
So not only were they a second opinion in that case, they even added a little with the nutrition and the nutrients and added what based on what you were doing at the time.
Yeah.
And you know what? Dr. Mariber didn't have to do that then. That took it off of the University of Michigan's plate that somebody was doing that.
Yeah.
And it's not
And
their
I
forte.
Will say this is the other thing too. That was what I was just going to say is like different, you know, places are good at different things, right?
Yeah.
So like the University of Michigan is amazing at research. I don't know that they're going to hold your hand through nutrition. At least they weren't in the same way, you know, then. So it is, you know.
Well, it's not even hold your hand. It's the truth is that it's an aside. And it shouldn't be an aside. Right. And we've said this to them before, is, you know, the university, I don't know if we should be talking about this kind of stuff, but the University of Michigan, for example, and it's probably similar to many university research hospitals, do a great job at research. But man, they could learn a lot from the places who are truly about the patient
experience.
A little
more patient-centered.
Yeah, and they're just not. They're not. Mm-hmm. But that was okay with us.
Yeah.
For one reason or another, or you.
Well,
I think it
was okay with me partly because I had the support system I had around me. I didn't need mm-hmm. somebody holding my hand through that process so much. Mm-hmm. You guys were great at advocating. I could advocate for myself. I had a great relationship with my oncologist. Mm-hmm. So that was enough for me. And honestly, she has advocated for me throughout the years, you know, when we've hit roadblocks or whatever, even within the health system there. So
is it ever too late in the process to not only get a second opinion, but to...
I don't think so.
Okay. All right.
I really don't. I mean, one, you know, there's...
I bet some people are in that boat going, yeah, I just... But I'm already started on...
So what?
Okay.
Right. So what? I just feel like... So somebody else looks at your case and says, yeah, you're doing exactly the right thing and I'd be happy to work with you on it. Or somebody says, have you ever considered? When you hear those words, I think, oh, we should.
Okay.
Have you ever considered generally means, I think maybe I would do it differently. You
okay.
know?
Yeah. Right.
I don't think so. I mean, again, that's where I kind of just look at, like, we get one shot at this life.
Yeah.
Right? So holding out, going, oh.
So this happened to us at least once, maybe multiple times, where your mother did some research.
Mm-hmm.
Great research. She was phenomenal.
Yeah.
And we would bring in kind of what we heard or she read, and your mom would bring that in, or we would, to Dr. Marv. She already had an answer.
Yeah.
I've considered that. And here's why. You know, I'm like, oh, it just makes you feel so good about the plan you're doing. We're going to hold off on that, but we have that or considered it, but with your negative this or that,
right.
It's just, there's answers when they have answers to those things, from another doctor or something, it's just makes you feel good.
Yeah. The other thing I thought maybe you're going down a different road with that is, I'm not ever an advocate of people doing a lot of research on their own, but if you have a good researcher, they can look for doctors and you can reach out to them. Like, it doesn't hurt to call places. It doesn't hurt to send an email. It doesn't hurt to...
Yeah, I don't know if you find out about the relationship you're going to have by researching. Well, you're going to find out they're a phenomenal ONJ doctor. That's it.
Well, but that's okay if that's what you're looking for.
Okay.
I mean, you know what I mean? And if it's worth a visit to find out if the relationship is there,
that's
it's
true.
Worth it, you know?
Yep.
So, I mean, I like knowing that my ONJ doctor's phenomenal and he's good, like personable.
Sure.
Right?
And, you know, this day and age, I don't even know. They probably have like comments and ratings and...
Yeah, I don't mean so much. I just meant like, you know, you can get pretty specific with trying to find, you know, somebody who specializes in... Or whatever, and names will pop up. And again, like my recent experience with my friend is that I just sent her like two or three names and she emailed and like got it. It's great to, you know, to think that even these doctors who are maybe on the leading edge aren't always off limits to us, you know?
That is so true. No matter where you live, if you're in the United States, no matter where you live, there is a research hospital or a specialist hospital that has phenomenal doctors probably within driving distance of almost everybody. Now, if you live in like the Dakotas, come on. But
Mayo's not that far.
Well, that's true. Dakotas. Yeah, you got Mayo. So, yeah.
I agree. I just think, I think if you are not happy with the relationship that you have with your doctor, I do think, you know, I mean, it's fine if to work it out to tell them. I think, you know, it's fair to give them a shot. But if you know that there's just a lot of fundamental things that are not going to change, it's okay for you to change.
Yeah. The big thing is identifying that. It would be for me. I would just, you know, I wouldn't even know or wouldn't even let my brain go to the fact that I'm miserable with this person or that I seriously wouldn't. I would suck it up and this is the way it's supposed to be and I'm going to, that's my mentality in life.
Yeah.
And then later on, I meet this other person and go, wait, this is how it can be? You know, I that is just me. And it's been that. And I've been lucky. I've been around great people. But.
Well, don't just, be like him. Be
yeah,
like me.
No doubt. Yeah. Right. Yeah, I definitely think you know. When you know, you know. And you're confident and happy and trustworthy. And all of those words.
Which, what does that do? It promotes wellness.
No doubt.
Promotes health.
Everything's going to be better.
Yes.
Everything absolutely. We talk about will work better with that trust in that those doctors.
Yeah,
not absolutely. Just one. It's not just the oncologist.
It's not just one. Exactly. No. I agree.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you have a choice, and I am always hoping that you will be your own advocate. So. Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, find somebody to help you.
Will. Right. All right.
I'm still here, after all these years, after all these tears I shed. I'm still here, and I'm walking this earth like I should be. There was days that I didn't know if I would be. Now I stand tall with my feet in the ground and my head in the clouds. Cause I'm still here, like I should be. Yeah, yeah, like I knew that I could be. Here we go, here we go. I'm still here. Oh, oh, oh. I'm here.
Hey everyone, I hope you love this episode of I'm Still Here, and I wouldn't want you to miss out on what comes next. So be sure to rate, review, and follow this show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast, especially if you found it helpful. We need all the shares, likes, stars, and love we can get. We'd also love to hear from you. Leave your comments and questions, and we'll incorporate them into future episodes. Have a great day.